With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
G'day everyone, and welcome to another edition of Tuesday Night Live, brought to you by Crowcast, of course. Big night tonight with a few things happening as we head into trade week, so without any further ado, why don't we just get straight into it, shall we? Hello, hello, and welcome to Tuesday Night Live, this 5th of October 2021, and day one, or day two technically, of Trade Week. Tons to talk about, a bit in it for the Crows at the moment, so let's get straight into it and welcome my usual cohort for Tuesday Night Live. Peter, how are you?
Fine, good evening, how are you?
I'm well. Now, Peter, for those listening, is down, where are you, South Coast somewhere?
Down the South Coast, it's school holidays, so we're down here just for a few days away. So I do apologise if the audio is not great. I haven't got my usual setup, so I do apologise for that.
Never mind, but making up for that and just making his debut on Tuesday Night Live for 2021, none other than Macca. How are you going, Mac?
Oh, I'm in illustrious company here, mate. I'm in the big time.
Macca, I'm excited. When did we last cast together? This is a watershed moment.
It's probably 2 or 3 years ago, mate. And I used to love it when you were on because you used to actually keep me in line a little bit.
Is that really
true? Good to hear your voice, mate.
No, I lied just to make him feel good.
Yeah, yeah. No, look, it's great to have you along, Mac. I know you've been itching for this time of the year with your draft machinations and your deep, deep knowledge of where we sit list-wise. And,
yes, I am.
So I couldn't have kept you away even if I wanted to, I don't think. Look, welcome to everyone who's joined us on Discord and also on YouTube. Don't forget, there's probably plenty to talk about. So if you've got something to say or you want to add your 2 cents or tell us we're a bunch of idiots, get around it on Discord, live studio audience. Put your hand up and we will get you on board. Plenty already joining us in chat, and I'm sure plenty more will join us throughout the cast. Okay. Bit going on before we get to the main event. Mac, what's going on? We've had one trade done so far, haven't we?
Adelaide?
No, not Adelaide. Well, you mean
the competition. Oh, yes, Kruger went to Collingwood. Yeah, that was, but that's a very minor one, very minor.
There's a lot of posturing going on at the moment. There's a few blokes being bandied around. Let's see if we can just run through it real quick. Pendlebury re-signed with Collingwood, so he's not going anywhere. That's Jason Horn. We don't care about him anymore. Peter Laddams is an interesting one. The Power don't want him, but they want a pick, a first round pick for him. That's interesting.
Well, it's classic Port speak, though, isn't it?
Yep, it is. Sydney look to be slightly interested, and there might be one or two others as the week goes on. What else have we got? Blah 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 blah. The Tigers.
I think what we're hearing from you, Fane, is that we're hearing from you that there's not that much happening, and that is, seems to be the news story of trade this year, is that there's not a lot happening, is there? And then, and I reckon they're scrambling for news stories.
Yeah, Hewitt's gone. That's the other one I was thinking of. Hewitt's gone to Carlton. Pending trade, of course.
Yeah, he was an unrestricted agent, yep.
Yeah, he's a free agent, I think.
Oh, yeah, so that's happened. Kruger, as you mentioned, from Geelong over to Collingwood. That's an interesting one. Yeah, you're right, Pete. There's not a lot going on.
And I think that it informs the kind of crap that's coming out from places like Trade Radio to try and generate clicks, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I reckon, you know, Fane, with your can I humbly ask with your permission that we get Macca to get that great big hairy one wood out right from the outset and just give us a little bit of a talk about the list and what actually, when we're looking, it's just really important, I think, when we're looking at what Adelaide may or may not do and all the machinations that may follow, it'll be, and I'm going to put my hand up straight away, and you both know this, that I'm shocking when it comes to understanding the list and the positions and what we've actually got and what we can actually fit in and, you know, what's happening with Davis and Rock. And so I reckon it would be great. I don't know if you, how you feel, Fane, but I reckon it would be great if Macca could just talk us through how many people are we looking at acquiring and draft picks and all that stuff.
I like it. Mackie, you got your piece of paper ready?
Well, no, I can do it out of my head, mate.
Get the one wood out, Macca.
Come on, mate. Yeah. Tee it up on the first, straight down the middle. Yeah. Tell us about where we stand list-wise.
Yeah, what actually happened is that we started the season off with the maximum number of players possible, which is 26. Not 26, 36.
Oh, just hit it into the tree first up. Come on, mate.
He's driving like a sandwich.
Well, I was using the putter, actually. But 36 on the main list. We had six on the rookie list, and we, of course, had two Category 2 rookies. When we got rid of Stengel, that left us with 35-6, and we were allowed to take an extra rookie in the mid-season draft to compensate for that. So we actually had something that you can't really have, so the AFL make up their own rules as they go. But we had, at that stage, we had 35-7 and two B, Category B rookies.
Yeah.
And we were trying to actually sort this out the other day, weren't we, on air? But once you sit down and trace it all through, that's actually what happened. So the situation is that we've actually got three gone from our main list, so down to 32. And if we go back to what we wanted to do, we would actually be able to take four in the draft and one, go, of course, Dawson would take up one spot, so that would leave three. But that also would leave us, if we keep O'Connor and if we keep Davis, that would leave us with no rookie space at all whatsoever.
Correct.
So where we sit at the moment is with the players that have been delisted just basically delisted or gone as a free agent, we've got room for four on the main list and room for zero on the rookie list. So to me, I would be thinking that O'Connor and Davis both could be in trouble.
All right, explain that a little bit more, Mac.
Well, basically, because if we're in a situation where we have to give Sydney, we're going to give a pick out of our lot to Sydney, that only leaves us with three. But we may have to give perhaps a combination of picks to Sydney if we take, maybe if that's two. So leaves the sort of the same situation. It's more really about people rather than picks. So sorry, going back to the fact is that Dawson takes up one of the four, no matter what combination we do, and that leaves us with the ability to put three more on our main list. Now, if we were to get rid of O'Connor,
yes,
and if we were to get rid of Davis, that would leave one position on the rookie list, and we always like to take one or two rookies. And I think what we may well do, we might be sliding one of Butts or Keys, and they are both on the rookie list. So
let me just get this straight, Matt, because I did a bit of a squad list, and I've got the who footy-wise thinks are the rookies. Let me just run through. Borlase, Category B. Butts is a rookie.
Yep.
Ben Davis is a rookie.
Yep.
Mitch Hinge is a rookie.
He might be on main list. He might be main list.
He'd have to be on the main list, wouldn't he?
Hinge is main list.
All right.
He signed him as a delisted free agent. Yep.
Let's just, Bloody Footy Wire got him as a rookie, so let's change that one because I want to make sure we've got our little list right here. Where are you, Mitch? No, you're not a rookie. Go away. All right. Ben Keys, rookie.
Yep.
Lachie Murphy.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
He's my
bloody rookie, for God's sake.
He's on the main list.
Tariq's a cat too. Parnell?
Parnell's a rookie.
Yeah. Kieran Strawn?
He's a rookie.
Rookie.
So who have I got left? Who have I left out? Anyone? O'Connor?
Borlase.
Borlase, Category B. Newchurch and Borlase are Category B rookies. They don't come into it.
Yep. So by my calculations, then, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 2 Category Bs, 6 Category As. Correct?
Correct. I just thought that's exactly what I said. Yep.
Yep. Beautiful. Now that's good. That means I've got my little list sorted now. For the people that are watching at home on YouTube, you can have a look there. I've got the list up.
So we have to take three picks in the main draft. Is that right?
Yeah. That's correct.
Yes, but that can include rookie upgrades. Correct, Matt?
Yes, we could actually. You only have to take one at the draft, and you're allowed to have two rookie upgrades. But you must have three.
Yeah.
You must have three. But two of them can be rookie upgrades.
Yeah. And that's personally why I think Davis and O'Connor, they're sitting on them. Because I think there's a chance we only take one pick this year.
Well, I'd be surprised if that were to be the case, because we always like to take a spec pick. So I would think that even if we get down to the stage where we don't have a lot of low picks, then we'd still probably take a spec pick. We've done that historically.
Yeah. Well, the other issue, of course, is too that there's Dudley's an NGA, isn't he, Pete?
He is indeed, as is Blaine O'Loughlin.
Yeah. So there's a couple of lads there that we might want to pick up from the NGA?
Well, particularly the Miller O'Loughlin one, because he's a very, very good lad and very, very talented player. But I don't think we'll get a chance to get hold of him.
Yeah, Firewalker on the chat saying that Reed pretty much said they aren't taking the NGAs, which is interesting.
So, Macca, sorry, you're talking. Yeah, were you talking about Miller, Wanganui Miller there?
Sorry?
Were you talking about when you said about O'Loughlin? You said Miller or O'Loughlin?
Go on.
There's Blaine O'Loughlin, who's the NGA prospect, and there's Naziah Wanganui Miller, who's the guy that will probably
I'm getting top 10, 12. Yeah. Sorry, yeah. I'm getting mixed up with him. Yeah, apologies there. Yeah.
No, that's right. Just clarify.
But I think the situation really revolves on there's two things that revolves around, in my opinion. The first one is obviously Dawson and bloody Carlton. I mean, Carlton ruined everything that they get involved in. And they are causing the problem for us at the moment with Dawson, because they went straight out and said, we'll give you 6 for Chera. Immediately, they've set a very high standard for draft. And normally, you'd be dragged kicking and screaming to give 6 for Chera, normally. But not bloody Carlton. And, you know, I did a quick comparison between Chera. I did a quick comparison with his history and against Dawson. And Chera, 76 games, and he's 22 years of age. Dawson, 64 games, and he's 24 years of age. The one good thing Dawson got really in favour, he's 192 centimetres, 6'4". So, he's a very, very nice size. In terms of their performances, last year both of them averaged 17 possessions a game, and this year both of them averaged 23 possessions a game. So you can see why Sydney is saying, well, look, if they're going to give 6 for Chera, we're entitled to get a top 10 at least for Buddy Dawson. So, as I said, it's Buddy Carlton causing the problem.
Well, yes and no. But the simple fact is that they're two completely different trade situations, and what Carlton don't have that Adelaide do have is PSD leverage.
Correct. That's absolutely correct.
And that, whether Sydney likes it or not, that actually has an impact on proceedings, because it's probable, almost certain, that if we structured the offer to Jordan correctly and front loaded it, we price out two of the teams in front of us, Gold Coast and GWS, and North are probably going to use their PSD on somebody else. So so he's going to get us in the PSD anyway. I think, and we may as well dovetail into this conversation now about Geordie, because the news today was, of course, that the Crows and the Bulldogs had an in-principle agreement to do a trade for the Bulldogs 17 to offer for Sydney. Personally, that pisses me off, because I think 23 under the circumstances is quite sufficient. But given that we've actually gone to the trouble of trying to upgrade our second rounder to a first rounder, pick 17, and I think we actually also offered a 22... second or third rounder as part of the deal, and the news came late this afternoon that Sydney have actually knocked that back. Now, to me, Sydney knocking that 17 and a future second or a future third, whatever it was, that's us done as far as I'm concerned.
Mm.
I don't think we have to try any harder.
Your thoughts, Pete?
Well, I think that's right, Fane, and I think that's actually been reported. I think John Ralph, in his trade reviews for the day, looking at Twitter late today, he's reported that Adelaide have now sat with that. But the issue for Sydney is that, as I read it, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think that offer's going to sit there for the whole of trade period, because I don't think the Western Bulldogs because we've made it clear that we only want that pick 17 if it's going to get
Dawson. Absolutely correct.
So I think I think what we've said that there's a timeline on it, and that we're not going to just the Bulldogs aren't just going to allow that to just sort of sit in the air for 10 days or 8 days. They're going to go if that's not used, they're going to go to another club because they need the points for Darcy.
Yeah,
absolutely right. Absolutely right. But, and you're quite right. It won't sit there for very long. And, you know, we might be able to stall it for a day or two. It probably might be off the table tomorrow. And if somebody else comes flying in and sees, well, that's a good pick to get hold of. So, but I reckon maximum couple of days, when maybe they might allow us that. But I think what we were offering was absolutely fair. And as I said, Carlton ruined the whole bloody thing with Chera. But from our point of view, the guy's 2 years older. He's on a very high developmental path at the moment. But he's going home, and they don't really have many defensive weapons. That's their main problem. And we do. We always have the fallback of the PSD. You know, front load the contract so that it's such a level that nobody will take him in the three picks prior to us. And it may well, and I think it could well get to that because when I saw the Sydney guy, I think he's an ex Geelong player, whatever, carrying Tom on Harley. There. Yeah, Tom Harley, carrying on as if to say, you know, we want to be respected and make this a proper thing and the offer to be decent and reflect what he's worth. We talk about trading. You know, when you're trading, everybody's out for themselves to get what they can. They want the most that they can get, and we want the least that we have to give. So don't come on that. That's bullshit, that stuff that he was coming on with.
What do they say? A fair trade is usually one where neither side is 100% happy.
Well, that's correct. That is absolutely correct.
And I feel the like reason... us... Sorry, Pete, just to round that off. I feel like us chucking away half our picks for this season just to appease Sydney to get pick 17, I don't think we'd be 100% happy with that. So I think Sydney need to be realistic. And at the end of the day, like you said, Pete, the Bulldogs are going to take that offer off the table in a couple of days, and then we're back to square one.
I think one of the reasons why I really was keen for Macca to just run through that list status was that my gut feeling is that Sydney will be sitting back and will sit back for longer because I think that what they're eyeing off is splitting pick four and particularly with a side like Richmond.
Yeah.
So, you know, the 4-23 for 7-15 kind of scenario, which gets them 15, or they'd probably argue for the pick seven. But the reason why I was keen just to talk about the list is because I'm just wondering whether, you know, how that's going to sit with our pick four. And you hit the nail right on the head, Fiend. You know, are we in a position where we're just not going to go down that path of splitting the pick?
Mm.
Because the list tells us that really what we want to do is upgrade Butts and Keys. I can't believe that Ben Keys is on the rookie list or Geordie Butts. You said to me now, who are the five most important players on our list?
Yeah, there are two of them. Two of them right there.
So that's astonishing, really, for a start. And so I guess what I'm trying to get to is that if we're looking at upgrading Keys and Butts, then maybe, you know, you took the words out of my mouth, Fiend, that maybe we're only looking to pick, you know, have one pick. And so maybe from a list perspective, we're not going to do this. And we've talked about it before, haven't we, on TNL? We've talked about the splitting of the picks.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We thought that might happen. I think that Reedy's been pretty strong on the fact that we're going to keep pick four. I don't think they're going to split it.
I
wonder if we're not going to split it because of the fact that we're looking at upgrading butts and keys.
Yep.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if we did split it, though, because it is not a bad solution in the sense that we could still have... If you look at where we're sitting with pick four and the players that go before pick four, the player that we would really be interested in up to pick four is Finn Callahan, right?
Yep.
He's not going to be on the table at pick four. So if we split,
I don't necessarily subscribe to that, Macca, but play on.
That's just what I'm thinking. That I think he'll be gone.
He may well be. He may well be. But I think that there's still a chance, and I reckon we're still angling. And I think that plays into Reedy's comments about the fact that we're not scared off by, you know, we want to take the best talent.
Yeah.
I think it was a pointed remark because of the beverage relationship. And I just wonder whether we're thinking that GWS and Gold Coast might be doing something more in the tools and that Callahan might slip to us.
There is a vague possibility of another trade. I mean, Richmond 7-15 is the obvious one to go for, and if we do split it, and I worked out in terms of what I think is a fair trade. I thought he's probably Dawson. If we were getting rid of him, not get rid of him. If he was going and leaving us, I think we'd want around about at least pick 15 for him, and so. That's one of the reasons why if we were to split pick four, get 7-15 from Richmond, and they are very anxious to get down low, I would think that would solve a lot of problems in the sense that they could have pick 15 and we have pick 7. There is one vague possibility. And
hang on, just before you go on with that, Macca, let's just turn this around the other way. What you're basically suggesting is that you're prepared to pay pick 15 and a 3-pick downgrade from 4 for Jordan Dawson.
If we didn't want to use the PSD, then we'd have to do something like that.
There's no way, Macca. Geordie's a good player. But there's no way we drop from 4 to 7 in a fairly even draft after the top 3 or 4, and also give away another top 15 pick for Jordan Dawson. Not going to happen.
No, I'm just saying that I don't know whether Adelaide want to be known as the club that always goes to the PSD after having done it last year.
That doesn't factor into it. You don't do that sort of a deal to be seen as good blokes. You just don't. In my opinion, given that the fella's uncontracted, given that we have the leverage of the PSD, given that we have come out and said we want top end talent with pick 4. Given that we've shown that we're prepared to give away our lower picks to the Bulldogs to get pick 17, which means that we don't really seem to have any interest in trying to offer something to Gold Coast for pick 3. To me, all the signs say that we're sitting on 4 and we've tried to do the right thing by Sydney by getting up to 17. And to me, If I'm playing poker with Sydney and I've just shown my hand at 17, that's me done. Take it or leave it, Sydney, because what else do they want?
Look,
if I can just Macca, just to, I guess, brief you on some of the discussions we've had on TNL leading up to this, and one of the things that we talked about a lot was, you know, not to get tied up in the number of the draft pick.
Yeah.
So we talked about, you know, let's go and knock on Hamish's door and say, look, you know, if we were to trade back, you know, as a result of the Dawson trade, you know, are you satisfied? Are you satisfied with, you know, if we trade it back from, as you say, from 4 to 7, is that going to be okay? Like, can you still get the kid that you want? And so let's not get anchored to, sorry to use a noble term, let's not get anchored to 4 if Hamish sort of says, well, yeah, actually, you know what, I can get who I want at 7. And so let's not, you know, get tied up in a number. But, and now, on this episode of TNL, as opposed to others, I put a little button there because we've heard from Reid, and he's been really, really strong on wanting to keep that pick 4. And so I've been, and I'm sure Fien has, we were talking weeks ago about saying, well, you know, if it's Dawson and 12 for 4, Dawson and 12 for 4,
yeah,
you know, we'll do it because, yeah. And but we did that with the rider that, well, you'd have to get a clearance from Hamish and say, you know, is that going to work for you?
Yeah.
I think now where we sit is that we've had pretty firm comments from Reid in the media, and my gut feeling now is that Hamish has said, no, I want that 4 because I reckon I know who I can get.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does make sense. Okay, and I only threw the other one in as a possibility, but...
Oh, absolutely, Mac, and we talked about that, absolutely, and... We were, you know, there was no way in the world that either Fien or I were wedded to pick 4 in trying to get the Dawson deal done. We weren't, and we talked about it a lot. And it's only the fact that Reid sent out the signals pretty strongly that, you know, they've knocked on Hamish's door and Hamish said, no, that's not going to do. I know who I can get it for, and I want who I can get it for.
Yeah, well, and the other interesting thing too, of course, as Phoenix said, we've gone out of our way. We've actually engineered what we think is a fair thing, and it wasn't just pick 17, was it, Fien? Wasn't there some little extras added onto that?
I'm pretty sure there was a pick in next year's draft. I can't remember. I don't know whether it was the second or third round.
Yeah. So I mean, in terms of reality, no. I guess if I was the guy that's doing the trading, I wouldn't do what I said. What I'm saying, if they did it, I wouldn't be absolutely shattered. But common sense probably does say, look, we put probably better than what we would probably get given to us if it was the other way around. So, so I think, yeah, we probably put our best put out there. And if they're not going to take it, well, then we just sit there and wait. And they might have to come back and take 23 and something else later.
I think Fien's right. And I think, Fien, what you're saying is that what we're saying to Sydney is that by, and we have an agreement with the Bulldogs, and so by 5 o'clock on Wednesday, it's 17. But at 5:01 on Wednesday, it's 23.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
That does make sense. I think at the end of the day, look, we will get him. The only question is, do you think that Sydney will hold their digs all the way through and we do go to the PSD?
I think it would be... I don't think it's a line in the sand situation for Sydney. Like, you know, they're all terribly indignant, and rightly so. I mean, you know, he's a rising star. He's a good young player. They've invested time into him. You know, he's ranked well in their best and fairest, etc., etc., etc. They'd be shattered. They'd be shattered to lose him. However, having said all of that, are they really going to dig their heels in and go, stuff it? We'd rather get nothing than get pick 17. I just can't see it happening.
Well, it certainly doesn't make sense. But I know they'd be shattered because I've watched every game this kid's played, and I can tell you, he is going to be an absolute gun. He'll probably end up being the best player in our team, I think.
Yeah, well, he comes into our team probably in the top half a dozen without any shadow of a doubt. But that's irrelevant, you know. I don't see the Swans hanging on. I'd be extremely surprised if they didn't take pick 17 with maybe something else chucked in for good measure. And it gives Sydney a pretty good hand at the draft. It gives them 12 and 17 in the first round, which isn't too bad for a top six team to take those two picks into the draft. You know, so unfortunately, Sydney are going to be the losers in the situation. But I don't think we need to do any more to try and turn that situation around. Mm. I mean, it's just the reality of the situation. Just the same as we were caught between a rock and a hard place when Dangerfield, you know, returned to Geelong. We got stuff all for him. The bloke wins a Brownlow medal the next year. We get pick 9 and Dean Gore, for God's sakes. there are inequities in this situation, and you win some, you lose some, and we've lost plenty. Let's not forget that the Swans were quite happy to throw us under the bus for Kurt Tippett, you know, in the last 10 years, and you know that's a long time ago, but they were ruthless about that. They chucked Jesse White at us and picked 21. Take it or leave it.
Absolute classic failure. Yeah, that was, talk about golfing rubbish.
But I mean, you know, you can't. That's an illustration of you win some, you lose some. And unfortunately, Sydney wouldn't find themselves very often. In fact, I can't think of a situation where they've found themselves on the losing end of a trade. And in fact, they've not got bad form in turning players around.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And keeping them when they've dug their heels in. And that's probably my biggest concern at the moment, is that Sydney think that they're a chance to re-sign Dawson. They did it with Papley. They did it with Ryan O'Keefe a few years ago, where they couldn't work a trade. They didn't get what they want. And they managed to retain the player. That's actually my biggest concern.
And quite a justified one as well, because Dawson has come out and one of his conditions on signing on with Adelaide was that we gave fair reward back to his club he's come from.
Yeah. And look, I think that's probably the main driver for us going for the Bulldogs 17. Because I think that in reality there was no real reason for us to budge off 23 under the circumstances, and a lot of people would think, well, why would we bother going to all that trouble to get them 17? I think it's as much about the vision to Jordan to say, well, look, we think we've done something that's pretty reasonable. We've gone out of our way. We've sold picks to get up the order so that we can give Sydney something at least, you know, reasonable in the first round. You know, so we've done all we can here. And I think that's not a bad exercise in itself. What do you think, Pete?
No, absolutely right, mate. The other thing that I mean that genuinely, I'm not just sort of popping it off, that is a genuinely important thing that we've done, because we've got to have him on board. Particularly if you're going to say, look, we're going to end up resolving this with the preseason draft, which you won't want to do, of course, because it's a different situation this year. It's not like we have with Jacko Haightley, where we had pick one and we can just say to him, look, we're guaranteed ironclad. We're going to get you at pick one, so don't stress.
Okay? Yeah.
We can do all sorts of, you know, we all know we can also do all sorts of good things, but we've got North Melbourne, Collingwood, because Collingwood will rightfully reclaim their pick 2 in the pre-season draft. So we've got North Melbourne, Collingwood and Gold Coast to get past before they get to pick 4. Now, you know, do we say, look, it's 95% that we'll get him? Great. But let's not forget that what we're doing is putting him in, we're asking him to nominate the open draft.
Yeah.
And we can put all sorts of little things in place to make sure that he does get to us, but it's still going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be an uncomfortable wait. Until we get to the PSD, and it can be uncomfortable, you know, a little half an hour to to make sure he gets to us. So
yeah.
I think it's important that we get, you know, we get him on board by saying that, you know, we're doing our best here. The other thing that came out in the media today was Port Adelaide. So there's
just before you go on, Pete, those in the chat, all wave. We've had a nice little Swan supporter in here crying about losing Geordie and, you know, all the rest of it. And he's had his fun, but I'm just clicking the band hammer right now. So say goodbye to Swam, everybody. Bye, Swam.
Bye,
Swam.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And it's over. All right, Pete, sorry, go on.
No, mate. So there were reports today about Port Adelaide becoming involved and Sydney, you know, talking about, you know, seeing what they can work out with Port Adelaide as well. So, you know, that's just another, I think, another little, you know, ploy that comes into it. And the interesting thing I think will be is that they've expressed interest with Laddams. I'm wondering whether we can get some kind of three-way deal that sends Laddams and something to Sydney, and we've sent something to Port. I'm not sure how that could work.
It's possible.
That's, I guess, a potential.
Yeah. So, look, I mean, that's it as it stands. We could go round and round in circles, but at the end of the day, I think it's pretty clear what the situation is. You know, any thoughts, we might chuck in a Ben Davis or someone like that. Obviously, both those lads out of contract, so we don't have a lot of leverage there, but...
Well, the only ones out of contract are O'Connor and Dave. So
yeah.
I'm sure we'd be glad to throw one of those, but I don't know that Sydney would actually take them.
No. Anyway, so, I mean, that's to play out. No one has actually said what the Bulldogs' deadline is, but you would think Western Bulldogs' main priority is obviously to get points for Darcy. And that's where we can help them out with all our lower round picks. But we're not the only team with lower round picks. And there's a lot of other teams, I think, that would be quite happy with pick 17, I think. So so we need to get our skates on. But it's a good move by the club. I think it's good optics for Jordan. I think it's fair and reasonable for Sydney under the circumstances. If I had to put money down, Pete and Macca, I would say that 17 gets it done.
I applaud Reedy and Kelly. I think that they've acted swiftly. I think they've acted in good faith. I think that you're right. The optics are good for the AFL and for Jordan.
Yep.
And I think that, you know, the time now is, you know, we've made the running and we've made it early. And I think the time now is to sit. And I think it just plays into, and for what we've done, I think, you know, I guess just trying to sort of eke out what we've talked about since the start of the show tonight was that what they've done is in line with our list management.
Yep.
And I think it's in line with what Reedy has said, that we don't want to do a lot, but we want to keep pick 4. And there's not a lot of, you know, list space there. So there's not the need for us to be, you know, splitting picks because we've got rookies to upgrade quite possibly. And so I think that all fits in with what we're trying to achieve in terms of our list.
Just one last scenario. How about if we do a deal with Dogs for 17 and then we go psych and take Geordie at the PSD anyway?
Oh, you beat me to it, Finn. I was going to suggest that.
That'll be the last trade we ever did.
Yeah. I don't think the next one's going to be a long conversation, but it's about Francis Horn. Is it Francis Horn or Horn Francis? Because I've seen both written.
Horn Francis.
Yeah. Watching that kid play for South Adelaide in that preliminary final, seriously, he is probably the best junior I've seen for a long time, in the sense that some of his moves were abletesque. He just reminded me, at times he's got a Dangerfield look about him, and other times he's got an Ablett look about him. And I know North Melbourne probably won't do the trade. They keep saying that they will look at offers, but they'd have to be very, very good. Would you consider giving pick 4, our first rounder, and Mackesy offered that for Jason Horne.
Without blinking.
Yeah, and the only question I'd sort of put for that is that do you want to be the list manager that traded away Jason Horne? And how history would judge you? I would say not, and I can't imagine that you could. Yeah, you know, there's really very very little I think that you could go to Northwood that would get that done. I think the time for Jason Horne was against Hawthorn.
Yes.
Late this year, and a couple of other games. Maybe that was the time to be talking about Jason Horne when it was a fairly cheap cost. To be honest,
yeah,
and I think that I think it's gone, Macca. To be honest, I think you're now looking at best Callaghan maybe if GWS or Gold Coast are going tools, but other than that, I think it's probably going to be Ben Hobbs, or maybe Josh Ward. So they're the kind of guys that we're probably going to end up getting. I think, or maybe Josh Goater will be a bolter from Calder Cannons.
Yeah.
They've said they wanted speed and power ahead of the ball, so you know he's one of those that would fit that bill. So I think that Horn's gone, Macca. We just have to sort of wave goodbye and wish him luck, and he will never come. You know, if he gets traded back to Adelaide, it'll be to Port Adelaide, and because he's got those connections with Fabian, so I think we just now have to wave goodbye and just enjoy watching him play. We had our chance, and we've blown that. So.
Yeah, Hawthorn and North Melbourne game, yeah.
Well, the Hawthorn game, really, because the North Melbourne game, we needed to be even on points with North.
Yes.
You know, and that was a Hawthorn game. And, you know, I mean, we've done this to death, so I won't rabbit on about it, but like you said, Mac, you watched Jason play in the final series for Glenelg, possibly South's best player in that losing preliminary final. We're talking about a kid who has played two seasons of SA and NFL, and he's 18 years of age, and he's, what did he get, 23 touches, 11 contested possessions, and 3 goals, 3 in a preliminary final against men. I mean, that's outstanding. I don't think you would actually find, certainly in AFL history, a better game of of 18-year-old football at senior level. Do you? I don't think there. No. I can't think of a better performance by an 18-year-old kid.
There were two incidents in that particular game where I thought myself Ablett straight away, and that was. Ablett was the master of this, where the ball's at the feet and they've got this non-coming player. You grab the ball, if you try and stand up, you're going to get tackled. If you try and break the pass, you're going to get tackled. But from the in a crouching position, from picking the ball up, he's managed to spot a player to his left-hand side 20 metres away, and from that crouching position, he's put a perfect pass on that person's chest. And he kicked a goal in a similar fashion where he had...
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
Picked the ball up, and he's almost in a half-crouching position. He's kicked a 40-metre goal snap, and I thought, "This he's a freak. That's Ablett stuff.
But here's a kid that has known for probably all season that he's in the conversation for pick one. He knows that he's on show in a SANFL final series. You could forgive him for actually wanting to preserve his body to make sure that he has a good start to his AFL career. Someone needs to send Razor footage or else I'm going to ban him just for being a dickhead. We're allowed to talk about this shit, mate. And he's still able to produce that performance under all that pressure as a kid, he is going to be a genuine superstar. Genuine superstar. And the disconnect between list management and team strategy, unfortunately, is going to leave us missing out on one of the best players of the decade, in my opinion.
And I'm in the same camp as you, 100% there, Fiend.
One thing I will just chip in with, and I know we've talked about Jason, I just did want to chip in with Mosiah Wanganeen Miller's performance in the reserves grand final on Saturday. Glenelg winning the reserves grand final, and Mosiah coming up with 19 possessions, 7 tackles and 3 clearances and a goal. He was considered to be one of the 3 or 4 best players on the ground.
Yeah.
Really, really great performance. And Mosiah has come from the clouds. I reckon he'll be close to a top 10 selection in that probably that 9 to 12 kind of bracket.
Do you reckon he's got that high, Pete?
I reckon he's going to go that high. And that's just my feel for him. He's still going to be too low for us with our pick 4.
Yeah.
He's not going to pick him there, but he's going to be a great pickup for someone.
Yeah, you're quite right, Pete, because he generated a lot of interest in that particular game that you're talking about. He just showed off a lot of his class, and I think he jumped from being about an 18 to 20 to up to around about the 10 mark.
Yeah. Sorry, I just give him a shout-out because it was a really great performance that tops off what's been a great 2 or 3 months for Nizar.
It certainly has. The back end of his 2021 has been outstanding, and, if he goes that high, good luck to him. It's a reward for effort, really, isn't it?
Mm. Yep.
Well, Pete, you know a lot about the youngsters. Let's say we manage to do the Dawson deal and we do it properly in the sense that they actually take pick 17 and we've got our pick 4 and we're not really, we're probably only going to be concentrating on one player in this draft, in the sense of one good player in this draft, and the rest might be either used to upgrade rookies or a later pick, because we're not going to have a lot of picks. Who is the... Well, I know what our needs are. We really need that fast-breaking, quick mid from the centre. Who fills that bill from where we sit?
I reckon one of the bolters, Mahu, could be Josh Goethe, a quarter cannons player, and I just... He's like a 190, 192 centimetre mid, and incredibly explosive and athletic. Not particularly great on this, he's not like a Paddy Parnell spearing kick, and I don't say that mildly with Paddy Parnell, because I know he's in our reserves on the rookie list. He is one of the best kicks you'll ever see. He's not that highly kind of skilled type of player, but he just fits. My ears tweaked up to what Reedy said, that they want power and pace forward of the ball.
Yeah.
And so Goethe is that kind of player, whereas if you look at it like a Hobbs or a Ward, who are players that are being talked about at 5 or 6, they're your 180, 183 kind of inside mids. Just don't seem to fit with what Reedy was talking about.
But that's why I asked the question, because...
I reckon you'll see a couple of bolters. They're already starting talking about MacAndrew being a bolter. So he's your 200... He's basically your Riley Philthorpe of this year. He's your 200-centimetre. He was in a Melbourne NGA, but won't get anywhere near the Demons. He'll go, they're talking about him potentially now with GWS's Gold Coast second or third pick. And you've got then Josh Gibkus, who is, you would think, is a top, maybe a sort of a 7, 8, 9 kind of pick, but those two teams are reportedly, have spoken about, needing tools and not necessarily mids. And so, it just opens the door as to whether a kid like Callahan, I think that's the guy that we want. I really do think that's who Hamish wants.
Yeah,
and I think that I really think that there's been a lot of publicity about the fact that, his mother is Luke Beveridge's cousin, and that he's a mad Western Bulldogs fan, And so there's all this sort of, you know, drama about, you know, well, we can't pick up Callaghan because he's a flight risk and he's your classic, you know, Metro kind of, you know, I heard him interviewed and he's talking about, oh, you know, it's been okay through COVID because I've got a gym in my house. And, you know, so he's kind of your, you know what I mean? He's your classic private school kid in Melbourne. He's obviously set up, you know, pretty comfortably there. And so, but I think that Reedy just, you know, sent the message that, that we're going to back our system in and we're going to take, you know, whoever we think the talent is. So that, the little signals that Reedy gives just says to me, and you want that sort of, you know, that, I just don't think we're looking for that inside sort of Hobbs Ward type midfielder, to be honest, Macca. Sorry, that's a bit of a long answer.
Watch
for a Bolter in maybe someone like Goda, who is that kind of player. Or watch for us. I think that's why we're reportedly trying to get to three. You know, because I think that we, you know, maybe we've got some intel that, that Callaghan may slip to three. And watch us just back out, you know, back Mixy in to get a kid like Callaghan and retain him.
Well, quite rightly, I think you're quite right about the we are after pick three. We would like to have pick three because that's probably where Callaghan's going to be available. And unfortunately, he may well go at pick three, and that's probably why we're trying to get him because Horns goes, he goes one, and GWS, I think, they're going to take a tall player. So that does leave Callaghan at three.
Or do Gold Coast take a tall as well because they've got no key defenders, Macca?
Yeah, so that's what I'm thinking. Gold Coast take a key defender.
You've got Gibkus, who's the outstanding key defender, you know, intercept defender of the draft.
Right.
So Gibkus is being talked about as maybe a 6, 7, or 8, you know, kind of pick. And, you know, does this become a needs-based sort of draft where, you know, Gold Coast say, well, we, you know, we desperately need a key defender in the same way that we took McAsee. And do they think they can trade back to get Gibkus, which then opens the door for us to get pick three?
Yeah.
So, you know, there's the... And there's a lot of talk about the moment about GWS being heavily into MacAndrew.
Yeah.
Well, could he bolt to pick two? It's possible. So they're the things that I'm sure that are, you know, the machinations that are going on behind the scenes. And I think that we've got to have some sniff at it, Fane or Macca, because otherwise we wouldn't be so strong about hanging on to that pick four.
Do you think we are in any way still having a look at Gold Coast pick three?
I'm sure that's still on the table.
Yeah. It'd have to be a play now, though, wouldn't it? Have to be four on a player, you'd think.
Well, what about even GWS and Himmelberg, four and Himmelberg to GWS for two?
Yeah. GWS haven't given any kind of indication at all that they're giving away. I think that Himmelberg is a Queensland. I wouldn't worry about the brotherhood combination. I'd be more thinking that, you know, potentially Elliot could go back to Queensland, which is where he comes from, for pick four and Elliot. Because you know, Gold Coast screaming for a key forward.
Would you do pick four plus a swap of 2022 first round picks for pick three?
I reckon they would do it if they could get Callaghan, and I think that Gold Coast, you'd probably back yourself, wouldn't you? With Gold Coast, it's not going to be a great pick.
Yeah.
I'd do it. Yeah, I'd do it.
Yeah, so you'd think we're finishing about 12th to 14th. Gold Coast probably finishing 14th to 16th, you'd think.
And even if they finished a bit higher, Fane, you know what I mean? Like, even if you're talking one or two spots, really? Have you lost out that much, really? And got the player you wanted?
Yeah. Yeah. That might be something that they might be able to look at with Gold Coast pick three. It's what they might do next year is a player plus a pick swap, perhaps. I don't know.
Yeah.
Lots to play out there. Do you, just rounding that off, would you take a chance on one of the Western Australian lads Erasmus to me looks really good. And there's another lad that just escapes me.
Johnson. Johnson.
Yeah, I think it was.
He won the Johnson won the medal in the Colts grand final.
Yes, that's right. Both big bodied, which is what I like about him. 192, and the Western Australian boys struck me as just big overall, didn't they? The two games we watched them.
I reckon Erasmus would. Yeah, I'm glad you reminded me of him because I reckon he'd be right in the frame, Erasmus, because he is that. Yeah. He is that exactly that player that Reddy's talking about. The only thing that does worry me, and look, it's the same thing with Callaghan, really, is that where's Erasmus been? Mm. He had a cork thigh about 2 months ago.
Yeah.
He's not, suddenly, you know, he hasn't been, like, if you can find vision of Neil Erasmus, then you're better than me. He has been the most hidden player that you just cannot find vision of him. He doesn't turn out for West Australia. You can't find vision of him. Yeah. You just don't know what he's doing. And you can't tell me that there's not some skullduggery there over in the West. I reckon he's been hidden. And that then just immediate alarm bells with the fact that if he's... And these are probably, you know, crazy allegations. But if he's a part of that, if he's happy to sort of just pull out of state games and... Because, you know, Frio, you know, says, well, look, you know, you'll drift and then we'll pick you. Well, then do you really want him if he's that? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he's that kind of player that we would be looking at for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, your mate Swan's back again.
Yeah, that's right. Not for long.
Johnson's probably, it's a bit higher pick for Johnson, I think. He should be a top 20 pick, I think, top 20, top 25. But I don't think you'd be taking him with pick 4.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm with you, Peter. I think there's still a little bit to play out with the Gold Coast pick 3. I think, you know, I keep wavering on that we're just going to sit on 4, and then that pick 3 actually looks a bit tantalising, because I would be far more comfortable in getting Callaghan at 3 than 4, although I think we're still a 50-50 chance at 4.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you, Fane. I'd love to have 3 because then you know that you're going to get Callaghan.
Oh, I think that's the only reason we do it, Fane. I don't think we do it if we think that we're not getting Callaghan, then I think that we don't do it.
Yeah.
Because you're back into Hobbs Ward.
Yeah, yeah.
That territory. And you could get Goda. You could probably get Goda at 8, 9 or 10.
Well, and see, this is the thing. Well, this comes back down to the discussion we were having the other day, Peter, isn't it? That if you don't think you're going to get the player you want at 4, then what's the harm in doing the split?
We're back into that, absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's why, you know, I know we've come full circle, but when we're right at the start of the show, when we're talking about Reedy, you know, coming out very, very strongly saying we're holding on to that pick.
Yeah.
Just tells me that we've knocked on Hamish's door and he just said, no, don't want to split.
Yeah, yeah. Now
upgrade keys and butts.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I just want to say, Razor Ray, he's been a strong supporter of the podcast, both on Sunday night and on Tuesday night, as you two well know. But he's giving me the shits about Jason Horn, and now he's come out and just rubbed a bit of salt in by going, the Steelers have lost to my Packers. Me being a Steelers fan, of course. Razor, you're on thin ice for a 7-day ban, mate, and I say that with all due respect. I think he just likes pushing my buttons. Anyway, look, I think that's about as much speculation as we can squeeze in at the moment. And considering it's a fairly quiet period for Adelaide this trade period, there's still a lot to talk about with the Geordie situation. I have updated my little list of our squad, and I think maybe next Tuesday we might actually go through that a little bit. But I just wanted to point a couple of things out to you before we go. If you have a look at our midfield group, what was I going to say? No, I've lost what I was going to say. That's useless. I won't even cover it. We'll cover it next week when I think about it.
Well, just one thing before we do go, Fien. Burgess, we should make the point that he is now officially with the club, and listening to the guy talk, he's talking about he wants to be with the Adelaide Football Club for virtually the rest of his career. He wants to settle down on Adelaide and make this club the best club he can possibly can, and I'm sure that players like Fogarty are shivering in their boots.
Well, the thing that came out today, I think it might have been today, was that he's been engaged to help design the news facility.
I saw
that. Eventually comes on. So that indicates massive buy-in, as far as I'm concerned. He's not here on a two-year hiatus. He's here for good.
Yes, and I think he'll be a great, great asset for our team, because we've never really had somebody of his quality getting the team ready. And, I mean, he's an international quality person.
No, I think a lot of people undersell Nick Poulos. I think Nick
Poulos did a good job.
Had us in good nick, Pete, during that early to mid-noughties period.
No question about it.
He was in good nick. And he's gone on to have international gigs as well, Mac. Looked after the rugby sevens for a couple of countries, and I'm not sure whether he's still tied up with rugby now or whether he's back in the AFL game. But I didn't mind Nick's work; it was understated. And we mentioned earlier, of course, last podcast that of course Neil Craig had international sporting fitness experience too, Mac.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to love and leave you. I'm down on the south coast, and I've got a few things to do. So,
very good.
Good wishes to everybody, and we'll look forward to catching you all again next Tuesday night. That's just me, done.
Very good. Thanks, Peter.
Cheers, bye. Guys.
See you, Pete.
Cheers, Macca. Good talk, Macca.
Yeah.
Now, Mac, did we want to have, now that Pete's gone, are you on a time schedule? Because I'm not.
I'm never on a time schedule, mate. I only go to bed till about 2 a.m.
Let's do a bloody Swans. Give me the shit. Let's do a bit of a list deep dive, shall we? Because it's interesting what we have in terms of our list structure at the moment, and I think it's worth talking about. We have a look at our defence at the moment, Mac. You guys are just going to have to put up with Swan because I don't care anymore. We've got a fair bit of structure there already. We've got Butts and Murray obviously holding down the keys. And now, is Nick Murray a rookie?
Yeah, Murray is, yes.
Well, then we're one higher than what we said.
Then we probably had one wrong. We've got six valid rookies at the moment.
Anyway, we'll talk about that in a minute. We got Butts and Murray as our keys, you would think, in terms of our third defender. We've got Duday now that Kelly's gone.
If you take him across the back line, those two plus in the pocket, you've got either Brown or Jones. Jones probably more, might even move up to the halfback flank, and Brown back into his pocket.
Yep. We've also got Josh Worrell, who at 195 could play as that third defender down back, not much shorter than Geordie, and actually taller than Nick Murray, although not the same leap.
I like Murray. I reckon he's raw, but I reckon he's going to be very good because he's fearless.
Yep. I like it. I like it too. I would like to see him pinch hit down forward on occasions.
Well, he's capable of it. He's certainly capable of it.
Doesn't mind jumping at the ball. In terms of our running defenders, as you said, we've got Brodie Smith, who is a stalwart, of course. We've got Paddy Parnell, possibly Wayne Miller. Chase Jones, possibly Will Hamill, although I'm starting to fear for Will.
Yeah, look, that That concussion issue with him, I think, will eventually end his career very prematurely, I think.
Yeah. I don't want to preempt anything. But, and then, of course, we've got Lukey Brown at 29 years of age. And Geordie Dawson, although I reckon he'll play up the ground, he could also be ranked as a halfback. So, to me...
He'll play wing.
Yeah. To me, Macca, in terms of our defence, and with Borlase sitting in the wings, who isn't a bad third tall option either, with a bit more experience under his belt...
Long-term going to be good.
Doesn't look like a bad defensive structure for the next 5 years, does it?
No, what's interesting is you've gone through it and you've placed them and there's a guy still not there called McAsee.
Yeah, well, he's on my list. But I have a feeling, Macca, that... and the other bloke I didn't talk about is Frampton. I have a feeling that Fisher might end up being tried at key forward. And I think that's last chance saloon for Fisher, to be honest with you. And I think Billy's our break glass third key defender who might come in against the monster forward lines.
When Frampton was in defence, there's parts of him that look good and there's parts of him, that, of course, that don't look good because the guy is not, he's not a top-notcher. But at times he looks like he could be, but then... he'll just do that, a very poor effort that shows you that he's not. But, who knows? He hasn't really played a lot of defence, so it'd be whether he develops into a good defender and you see a lot less of those bad things, and he might be good. But I think we've got so many options down back that it's going to be very, very hard for anybody to say, this is my spot, particularly the ones more on the fringe.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on Luke Brown?
Brownie's an unsung hero. When you really look back at his career, he really has been an unsung hero. You just don't notice him so much. Well, he does his job. He makes sure his man doesn't get a lot of the ball. I thought that he, last year, the season just gone, or the one before that, he just was starting to look like he's a little bit more vulnerable, so he might be getting towards the end of it. But he was also carrying an injury at the time too, so it's probably not fair to judge. Yeah, and so look, if he's 100% fit, he is still very good.
Agreed. Right, if we have a look at our forward line, a squad of forwards, I should say, it's quite interesting. Now, I've left Frampton there for now, but we've spoken about that. I think him and McAsee are interchangeable. In terms of our tools, we've got Hillthorpe.
Yes,
and we've got definite. Himmelberg.
Yep.
And that's it.
Fogarty.
He's not a tool, Mac.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
He's not a tool. You could probably put,
Gallant.
I'll put Gallant in there. I'll just let me change his. Yeah, because he's a definite forward. So Lockie 191. He's shorter than Darcy, so I don't class him as a tool. So. We really, if you look at our forward line stocks in terms of our keys, it's still a bit light. Because I don't think that Riley ends up being a key forward for us. That's my gut feel.
Riley Hillthorpe, he'll not on his own, always in conjunction with somebody like a Fogarty or a Walker alongside him, because you need the contrast of the type of players, and Hillthorpe showed that he can play that role. I mean, in his first game, he's kicked five in his first game, and he tired as the season went on, and he had to do a little bit of ruck work as well. But Burgess has said that Hillthorpe is going to be one of his special projects to get him to be the very best he can be.
And that's what I'm saying. He's not going to be a key forward. or he's not going to be a traditional key forward?
No, but he'll spend probably the majority of his time up forward with a little bit of a run on the ball. Or at times you may move him up on a wing and all that type of thing. So I understand what you're getting at. He's ground playing, and his versatility is such that you can actually play him in any position, really.
Yeah. I still think we need another tall up forward. We've got Himmelberg at 24 years of age, who's played 27 games. We've got Frampton at nearly 25 years of age, who's only played 18 games. We've got Fisher Mack, who's played bugger all games, is a bit younger. And then we've got Thilthorpe, who's not even 20 yet. Our tall forward stocks are still a bit of a worry, in my opinion. Riley's going to be something special. I don't think there's any worry about that at all. Our forward line, in terms of our tools, is interesting. And then you have a look at the mid-size. We're probably going to get one more season out of Tex, maybe half a season. Yep. We've got Darcy, who hopefully becomes the mainstay in terms of our mid-size that we're all looking for.
I think he will.
It must be a slow day in Sydney for this dickhead to continue to come onto our cast when he's not even a Crow supporter. Terribly slow day.
Well, we can look at it this way, Fiend. He's finally realised this is the quality podcast to listen to.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. Anyway, let's continue. We've got Tex, we've got Darcy, we've got Lockie Gallant, and then you could throw in terms of medium-sized forwards, Shane McAdam. And at this stage, although he hasn't played there for ages, Benny Davis. But our forward line needs some work still.
I wouldn't be totally surprised if there's a shock trade out of the Crows prior to the end of the trade period, it would be McAdam. I don't think his heart was really in it very much last year. And he's a Western Australian, and I'm not saying it will happen, but I wouldn't be totally surprised if there was an offer and a trade for him.
Yeah, I've been saying similar, Mac, for a while, but it's been very, very quiet on McAdam. I think if there was a trade, it wouldn't amount to very much.
But one thing about the Crows is, in recent times, they're like a bank with a vault. You can't get it open. They're not much gets out.
Yeah, but when you're talking about two teams involved, the other club will generally make some noise and, pardon me, or a manager will get on, or, some journo will, hear a whisper and come up with it. But I've heard absolutely nothing on Shane. So I think he stays. I wouldn't even care if he got delisted, but I don't think that'll happen.
Totally lacked passion last year, Feeney.
Yeah, 100%.
He really let us down badly.
100%. He's going to have to find something. At his best, he's mercurial, but we don't see much of that. Then in terms of our midfield, Mac, it's a bit of a mixed bag. If you're talking about inside midfielders, we've got obviously Matty Crouch, we've re-signed. We've got Benny Keys, who's a little bit inside out. Lukey Pedler would probably be an inside player once he gets going. Ronan O'Connor, if he stays on the list, is an inside player. Sloaney, I'd be looking to go forward, and maybe that's a bit of an answer in the short term. Up forward, Mac, Sloaney to a half forward flank.
Oh, it has to be the young boys real running through the midfield. Sloane can't be there.
Yep, no, I agree. We've got Braden Cook, who at the moment is sort of a half forward flank prospect, but I wouldn't mind seeing a little bit more of him up around the wing.
I really like the look of Cook. I really think he's one that could develop into a really, really classy player. He's really impressed me. I like him. I think he's a must to be playing every week to develop him, in my opinion.
Yep, agreed. We've got Jack Hatley, who's an interesting one. Didn't set the world on fire in his first season with us, but talk of him having OP, which slowed him down a bit. So he's got it all to play for in the coming season.
I'm sure he did the stupid thing last year and played with injury because he was in his very first year when he was up at GWS. He played in those 2 years there. He was much a better player than what we saw this year, and also he looked even slower than when he was up at GWS. So I think you're right about the OP, and it was probably worse than he led on. And look, I know from experience, you play with injury and you let yourself down, you let the team down, and you really let your image down. So I tried that once when I was playing, and then I got caught out by the coach at training when he got me against the biggest, fattest ruckman and made me have a sprint against him, and I couldn't beat him. Mm-hmm. And because I was playing with injury, and you just look, it's such a pointless exercise. You're just better off to take the bait and get yourself right.
Yeah, but in modern football, it's not all up to the footballer. And you've got medical staff that provide the coaches and selection staff with information. A lot of these medical staff have the opinion that if it's not going to get any worse, you might as well play. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if they've assessed Jackson and gone, well, it's not going to get any worse, so let's keep him out on the park and try to keep some match fitness up. But what we have seen as a result is a very mediocre year from Jackson. He'd be disappointed with it, and let's hope he can get himself right to give it a really good crack next year. Harry's the obvious one there that looks like he's just about to burst at the seams. In terms of breaking out, but again, it's a bit of a mixed bag in the midfield. Probably not as broken as our forward line. I think there's some good parts there, particularly if you throw Jordan Dawson into that mix as well.
His delivery this year into the Sydney forward line. He played the first half of the year at half back, and halfway through the year they moved him onto the wing, and gee. He set up some goals with his beautiful passes. He's got great vision, and he's a beautiful foot kick.
Yeah,
he will be very good for us.
Can you see him actually running through the midfield rotations rather than just on a wing, Mac?
Yeah, no, he'll get his turn in there as well. He's as I said, he's 6'4", but he's very very mobile.
Yeah.
He's a good player.
Okay, so I think the one that I'm most interested in is Matt Crouch. We've signed him on a low-ball two-year deal. He's seems to be surplus in terms of that position. He offers experience, obviously, and his quality. I mean, he's won a Best and Fairest. He's been an All-Australian. So he's no slouch. But, gee, we haven't seen much good from Matty for a couple of years now.
Another one that played with OP, Fiend, which always never ever does gets a job done.
So if we're trying to work out who our starting midfield is next year, who do you think is attending the first centre bouts next year? Is it? It's surely not, and I can't believe this, but I've left Rory Laird out. I don't know how he's not on this list, but Laird's in there, obviously.
Just starting, it should be, and I'm not saying it will be, but it should be Lairdy, Keyes, and Schoenberg. Because we need, he is the up and coming midfielder that's got dash, and he's also got great vision and disposal coming out of those situations as well. And the other two are grunt players, absolute grunt players. The problem we're having.
We've also got to get games into Berry and Pedler next season, Mac.
Yeah, but they don't. Schoenberg won't be there all the time. That's why I'm saying Sloan to a half forward flank, because I'm trying to make a spot there so that there can be a rotation of these younger players through there.
Yeah, but I don't think Berry and Pedlar are the players to rotate with Harry, because they are more inside. Berry and Pedlar are more the rotation options for Keys and Laird, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah, I'm just looking in the chat there, 1990 Crow with his likely 22. It's not a bad looking lineup, Ben, when you look at it.
No, but that's why I've isolated it into parts, because you can throw names on a sheet like that and they all look good. But when you break it down into parts, it really exposes us in the forward line, in my opinion. And it still shows that we're lacking pace in the midfield. Geordie Dawson helps that. We've got to put game... Like, we have to see 15 games out of a fit Luke Pedlar next season. He was taken without our first pick last year. And yes, he struggled to get on the park early because of injury and whatnot. We knew that. But we have to see 12 to 15 games out of Luke Pedlar next year. We also need to see more games out of Braden Cook. We need to see more midfield minutes out of Sam Berry. And I guess what my question is where the hell does Matt Crouch fit into all of that? And how can... Are we exposing ourselves if we're too young on the bench with blokes like Pedlar and Berry and Cook, etc.? Where does Matt fit in on all this?
Well, it is difficult because, at his best, he's a quality midfielder, not of the type that we need to sort of complement what we've got at the moment, because he's another one that doesn't move with lightning speed. We really need that. If you liken it to American football, that quarterback that where they do the grunt work and then shoot it out and let out and the player that with the dash is off with it, and that's the type of player that we need.
That's Laird.
Well, but Laird's basically, he's always under pressure when he's doing it mostly. So Petrarca-like clearance out of the centre.
Yeah, no, but that's different. That's power. That's not quarterback. Petrarca's a running midfielder. Same with Oliver. They're not quarterbacks. Laird is the giver. Ben Keys can do a little bit of that as well. It's just that last season, we didn't have anyone to give it to. And I guess the point I'm trying to make, Macca, is that we're still very one pace through that midfield.
We are.
Unfortunately, the kids that we've got to pull through, Berry and Pedlar, are also not speedsters. I mean, Berry's probably a bit deceptive. Pedlar, we haven't seen enough of to really get a gauge. But they're both not renowned for out-and-out speed. So... We're very inside midfield heavy, and I'm just wondering how we're going to get enough games into all these kids that are going to be our next generation midfield. And I'm talking about Berry, I'm talking about Pedlar, I'm talking about Jack Haitley if he comes on, those lads. How are we going to get them into the rotation?
Well, that is the problem, because we've got... you could probably name six or seven people to rotate through them, but none of them have got that dash that we're looking for.
That's my point.
We just don't have that player on our list. I mean, that player was really meant to be Jones, but he didn't have the confidence when he was doing in the midfield. He's gone down back. You wouldn't take him away from there at the moment. You'd want him to play at least another season where he's really top of the world and running high before you even thought about giving him another midfield chance.
Yeah. So my personal opinion is that Matt Crouch isn't first 22. That's my opinion. I don't think he will be a starting midfielder in our best 22.
Well, look, we'd have to be winning a lot of games for him not to be in the 22.
No, I disagree, because it's not about winning games, Mac.
No, I suppose in overall it's about improving the team as a whole. So I understand what you're saying, but I still think that he will be in the team.
Mm. If he's in the team, it keeps Sam Berry out of the team. It keeps Luke Berry out of the team. And that's a problem. That's a big problem.
Well, it is, and it's going to be a problem anyhow. Even if he's not in the team, there's going to be... We've got probably, you know, anything up to a dozen young players that are trying to get into that team, and you can't get them all in. That's going to be the problem, and they've got to earn them.
I don't agree with that. I think when you're in a rebuild, sometimes kids don't have to earn their spot. I think sometimes you've got to trust kids in a spot. You know, I think there are times. Riley Thilthorpe was a classic. His form in the twos was bloody shit. Really, he didn't do anything in the twos. He comes in and he kicks five on debut. I think if you're going to commit to a rebuild and you're going to commit to moving forward, there's got to be a point where blokes like Sloan and blokes like Matty Crouch, you know, are no longer part of that first rotation. And, I think they signed Matty on a two-year deal because there was nothing on offer for him.
Correct.
And I'm pretty sure... I mean, let's not forget, Matt Crouch hasn't played for a year, right? And he didn't play a huge amount the year before. I don't think there's any case to be made for Matt Crouch to just walk back in and be first 22, in my opinion. What does that say to a kid like Sam Berry who's busted his arse all year last year?
Yeah, look, it is interesting, Fien, and look, you might be right. They might go down that path. Look, I think Nick's is all about improving the side for the long term, so I think... With Crouch, though, I think if they do play him, it will be to get him into top form to get trade value for him when his contract expires.
Mm. Anyway, it's an interesting thing. My phone's decided to ring. Just bear with me. Shut up. But we've probably crapped on long enough, Mac. And we can talk more. We can talk more in depth about the... About the squad in the coming weeks when we know a little bit more about what's happening in trade and where we're sitting draft-wise. You know, as we've spoken about with Pete early, lots to play out this week. Very interesting to see how the Dawson situation pans out. Very interesting to see if we move on pick four. And before you know it, it'll be over.
Well, next Tuesday night. If I understand correctly, doesn't the draft period finish about 5:30 or something on the Wednesday?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's good. Well, I hope we're talking about the trade having gone through, not wondering what's going to happen.
As much as we're all going PSD, I really don't want to wait until the PSD.
Yeah. So
let's get it done, boys, shall we?
It'll be interesting next Tuesday because... Hopefully, we might know something positive, and hopefully it's all done. But, it'll be an interesting conversation if it's Tuesday night and we still haven't done the deal.
Anyway, look, we'll leave it there. Thanks to everyone who's joined us on Discord and also on YouTube, of course, and who's listened live on the audio. Thanks to Peter earlier on for joining us as well. We will be back next Tuesday night, Macca. Another look at and a bit of a wash up and hopefully not too many more nerves on trade week, and then we'll see what happens from there as we move forward to the draft. But in the meantime, thanks everyone for all your support, and we will see you next Tuesday night.
Yep. Good night all.
Night all.